Good morning, friends. Hopefully from the image and from the excellent song choices, you know which metaphor we're talking about this morning. We are talking about the metaphor found in Scripture for God, about God being the potter and us being the clay. Metaphor is found in several places in Scripture. One of those is Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. And also in Jeremiah, which is where I'll be reading our scripture from today, Jeremiah 18. And you can follow along. I'll be reading in the NRSV. I think your pew Bibles are NIV, or you can be on your phone. It's okay. Or you can sit back and listen while I read it. I'll go through verse 11. Oh, 12. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Says the Lord, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Let me set the stage a little bit for this passage in Jeremiah. We first off see that God tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And this, friends, is kind of wackadoodle, because Jeremiah is in the middle of personal, social, religious, and national chaos. Nationally, the empires that have long been threatening the Israelites, Assyria and Egypt, are giving way to something scarier, the Neo-Babylonian Empire. Religiously, corruption has infected the Israelites to the core. And then Yahweh keeps telling Jeremiah that his task is to announce that this new rising empire will actually be God's way of discipling the Israelites, the chosen people. If that wasn't enough, there's social unrest. The city of Jerusalem and the people of Judah have become corrupted and confident in their own idolatrous self-interests. They despise whoever and whatever that doesn't serve their own interests, and that includes Jeremiah. So I imagine Jeremiah feels quite alone. Historically, he's called the weeping prophet. I think I would be known that way too. He's a man against the world, racked with conflict and tension, dodging death threats, and even struggling with deep questions about the nature and purposes of God in both his life and the world. Sounds a little bit like America. And then God calls him to a potter's house. And this is strange, because there's nothing remarkable about the place that he's going to. It's mundane and everyday. Is this really how Jeremiah should be spending his time? There are big and real and pressing needs out there. There's political and national turmoil to address, religious restoration to promote, social issues to tackle, and yet in the midst of catastrophe, God calls Jeremiah to a potter's house. To the simple, to the everyday. When the world around us is burning, sometimes obedience looks like sitting still long enough to recognize that a bush is burning too. To watch a potter hold clay in his hands and make pottery. Jeremiah can't control the national fate of Judah, kindle religious revival, solve the plagues of society, or even resolve his own personal angst. All Jeremiah can do is obey the small. Listen for a God who speaks in the everyday. And sometimes all we can do is trust God in the midst of our own catastrophes. And how often, in the midst of our own chaos, do we hear or sense God asking us to do a simple, seemingly absurd task? And friends, that's the context for our passage this morning. So hold that. Now, many of you may not know a little fact about me, but I took pottery all through high school. In fact, I became kind of a ceramics junkie. I took every single class I could until I took pottery for or ceramics for, and the teacher's like, Leslie, there's nothing left. You can come and throw if you want to, but there's no other classes for you. But I loved that in the chaos of my high school day, I could enter the ceramics classroom and sit down at the wheel and consider, what will I create today? Or some artists will say, the question was often, what is in this clay today? What is waiting to be created? And I would lose the chaos, and I would focus on that lump of clay. And because we're doing this series on our images of God and metaphors for God, I thought it might be kind of fun and helpful to have a video running behind me of a professional potter throwing a pot. Her name is Emily Reason, and you too can find her on YouTube. I did ask Bruce Schuhart if he had any video of him throwing pottery, because he is a potter, but he didn't have any video. So you get Emily Reason from YouTube. So hopefully this is an addition to my sermon and not a distraction. There are ways that this metaphor works, and like all metaphors, ways that it breaks down. Now the first stage, hopefully you notice, the most important part of making pottery, your clay has to be centered on the wheel to be workable. If it's off-center at all, it will wobble and eventually collapse. Now, hopefully you noticed, Emily, she threw that clay on the wheel. You don't gently place it there. You splat it on the wheel. It actually makes that sound. Because the clay needs to adhere to the wheel. Otherwise, it'll slip off. It has to be centered to be shaped and formed. Similar to clay, we have to put ourselves in positions for God to shape and form us. We center ourselves, discipline ourselves to listen to God, to be in relationship. We have to spend time on the wheel. Then the potter puts pressure on the clay to work it. If too much pressure is applied, the bowl collapses. If there isn't enough pressure, the bowl isn't formed. So when you're forming a bowl, there's a combination of pushing, of pulling. And the clay has to be pretty wet to be workable. It has to be pliable. If the clay becomes wobbly, the potter can collapse it down or form it into a ball once again. Now, one of the ways the metaphor doesn't work well is eventually your clay, if you have done that a couple times where it's collapsed and you've reshaped it and reformed it, eventually you got to scrap that clay and start over again. So that's where the metaphor doesn't work. Because our potter, friends, never throws us out to start over. Romans 8 reminds us again that nothing separates us from the love of God. So God is always able to reshape and form us. In Jeremiah 18:4, again it says, "The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled or ruined in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him." We all have lumps in our clay, and the potter reworks those, refines them, reshapes them, remakes them. In churches, God redeems our brokenness. It also stood out to me in this verse. It says, "The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand." That even in our brokenness, we are never out of the potter's hand. We are always in God's hand. Throwing pottery is a process that cannot be forced. The potter has to be firm yet gentle. And the clay has to yield itself to the potter, just as we have to yield ourselves to God to be formed, trusting and responding. The image of the potter making clay is intimate, close, hands-on. This is not something that the potter multitasks with. But often the potter is hunched over the wheel, focused, using both hands. The potter uses very few new tools, or uses few tools. Maybe a spinning wheel, some clay, a scraper, a sponge. This is not a 3D machine that spits things out of plastic. This is a master sitting at a wheel, placing both hands on the clay, pushing and pulling, forming and creating, much like God creating and forming earth in the beginning. This is a master whose attention is entirely on us, whose focus is on us. This is a master who loves what is created. God, our creator, forms us, creates us in God's image, and loves us intimately, tenderly, firmly. So this text displays the sovereignty or supremacy of God. God says after the potter reworks the clay into another vessel, "Can I not do that with you? So you are in my hand." God is reminding Jeremiah and the people of God that we are not independent. We do not act just on our own accord. What's interesting to me about this passage is that the relationship between God, God's actions, and our responses. Because this text says that God is open to or tempered by the human repentance or responses. God's judgment is correlated with human action or inaction. We see that God is open to change God's mind depending on the actions of the Israelites. One writer says that in Jeremiah there's a dynamic of deed and consequence. The relationship of potter and clay is similar here too. Both the clay and the potter have responsibilities. The clay has to be pliable, workable, submit and trust. The potter has to be gentle yet firm shaping, forming, creating. There is an interconnectedness displayed here in this metaphor that I think really works. Either one of those extremes is heresy. We can't say that we don't have free will at all to choose God or not choose God. And we can't say that God just dictates everything and that it's all predetermined before we're even born. Either one of those don't work. It's a relationship. One that works best in harmony with each other. This metaphor is part of the answer to the age-old question, how are real human choices compatible with an all-powerful God? How does that work? Both things are true, that God knows all and is all-powerful, and we have agency, some freedom to choose how we live. How do those work together? And I think part of the answer is found in this passage or metaphor for God. Everyone everywhere is invited to live in harmony with the goodness that the potter intends for creation. I don't know about you, but I really resonated with this passage this week. In the midst of the changes we've undergone in the last year at North Valley, part of our call has been to trust God and trust where God calls us. We, as North Valley, are continuing to listen and trust that God is shaping us and forming us, that God continues to call us and shape us. Friends, are we centered on the wheel? Are we pliable in the potter's hands? Do we trust the potter to shape and to form us? As God pushes and pulls us, are we moldable? Are we making sure to take the appropriate position, remembering that we are the clay, not the potter? So, friends, one of the ways that we stay centered on the wheel is to listen to the still small voice of God together. And so we're going to enter a time of listening. The following query will be on the screen. How is God shaping us as the Church of North Valley? And if God gives you a message or prompts you to share, please stand and a microphone will be brought so we can all hear. Let's listen together.